Thank you for listening to a message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. The following sermon was recorded during our Sunday morning worship service. The notes for this sermon are available on our website at www.manhattanchurch.org/sermonnotes. We hope that this message will be helpful to you and encourage you to explore the Word of God. And now, this week's message.
I think Reading Big Hope is really cool. And because my dad serves there, and I love serving the people, and I'm serving God. And okay. Yes.
And what's your name? What's your name?
River.
River, okay.
Okay. So, hello, my name is Joshua Garrison, and I've been doing Community of Hope since I could walk. And it's really fun because I get to serve people. And yeah, it's just a really fun experience. Okay. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man. Oh, this is John, chapter 1, verse 18. Anyway, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. I'm Hans Kahneman. Joshua River and I have been God brothers, and we have been all of our lives. The Community of Hope is important because we are all called to serve God, our God brothers and sisters, because we are all made in the image of God.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Kevin Williams, and I'm not going to say I'm a member of this church, but I'm a volunteer of this church with Carl. I know Carl for about 25 years. Carl has saved my life because I used to be formerly homeless. I come here every second and fourth Saturday to help Carl out because this is my way of giving back. I love this church. The church has kept me going ever since he started. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, everyone. My name is Helen Rambert. I'm not a member of this church, but my homegrown church is the Greater Refuge Temple, which is located on 124th Street and 7th Avenue. I live down here now almost 7 years, and the Lord has blessed me to come to this church to serve the community every second and fourth Saturday of the month. And I'm so thankful and grateful that what Carl asked me to do for him and what the Lord had called me to do for him. So with that, I had much to say, but everybody have a blessed day. And hopefully I'll be seeing you all tomorrow. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You know, you got to love the the children. And okay, there we go. There we go. Okay, have a seat, guys, as you come running in. Great. My name is Carl Garrison, and I'm the minister of homeless outreach here at the church, the Manhattan Church, and we try to serve community guests the best way we can. Guests who are maybe homeless or live marginally, or maybe struggling with poverty in some kind of ways, and we try to meet physical needs, you know, food, clothing, showers, some social and emotional needs by providing presence, some counseling, and safe spaces for guests to sort of express themselves and engage in what we call like our town hall reflections, you know. And those discussions, they reflect on many various things like race, crime, sexual orientation, poverty, wealth, philosophy, sports, mass incarceration, you know, white privilege, immigration, all those things. And we try to serve in terms of advocacy as well. We by connecting guests with resources to the city when we can, working hands-on with guests as they try to navigate through some of the court stuff. We've done some of that. And it's it's been challenging. We've some of the guests have been victims of some wage theft. We try to work with some of that. And I'm really blessed because I actually serve on the New York City Clergy Roundtable and Interfaith Committee on Homelessness and Housing and the FPWA Clergy Convening Committee. And that kind of helps me get a broader perspective, a civic perspective on how best to serve guests and it with resources. And I think that's been a blessing to me. We, you know, kind of do a, you know, we, I feel it's very important to be public with one's faith. Amen. I want to thank everybody today who's part of the service, you know, with a great day of testimonies and worship. And, Brother Kevin, Sister Helen, Joshua, Aiden, Hans, and River, and Shannon. You know, and I, you know, I used to not like talking, on Community Hope Sunday, especially if, around MLK Day, or Black History Month, for that matter. Because I've always felt that when things are made special, they are, by definition, not normative, right? And they're not part of the everyday life of a congregation or time. Obviously, I feel differently now. I'm here. But I think that maybe I'm just getting older. I don't know. Or maybe I've just, been assimilated. I have no idea. But I think that, you know, it's important in my old age to recognize something at some point if it's consistent. Amen? And this way, you know, you kind of build on a larger narrative. And it's sort of like working out, you know, every little bit helps. You heard that? And I think this is important. You know, one thing you learn in any kind of ministry is perspective and what is really at stake at any given time. And right now, culturally, what's at stake is a kind of a radical reimagining of what it means to be a human being. You know, the othering that has taken place culturally and historically has kind of created a kind of a one-size-fits-all vacuum, a cultural norm, and sort of that demanded that one standard be the standard for humanity. And I kind of struggle with that. Anything that has not been viewed, you know, as not normal is not considered human. You know, and we kind of see some evidence of that culturally. You know, all people are made in the image of God. And as such, in the Community Hope, we've always tried to affirm that in various ways. And guests in the Community Hope are not just people to be served, but they're vital members of a community. And they're friends. The incarnation, this term incarnation, has always helped me to see that. Now, we've been talking a lot about the incarnation at the Community Hope, you know, the Iron Sharpens Iron class this morning, you know, Brother Tom has been speaking on it and so eloquently, so wonderfully. And I just wanted to share some reflections about the incarnation and some ideas, you know. I've always loved talking about it, the actual truth that in Jesus, God became enfleshed in humanity, breaking down every barrier between himself and his creation. The incarnation, it kind of sets a table for the resurrection. And the implications from the incarnation, to me, are just huge. They're huge. is I believe that this was sort of done for our benefit. I mean, I don't think that, you know, God created me. He knows me thoroughly. And I don't think he's like saying, I wonder what it's like to be Carl. Now I can know. I think he knows, right? But I think he made me. I think he wants me to know that he knows. Amen? I think that's a little bit different. He broke every barrier, crossed every gulf to do so, to make sure that I knew fully, without a doubt, that he knows me, that he can identify with me. That way I can be empowered to change for him. The gulf that was crossed when a holy God crossed space and time to become a person is just very significant to me. It offers a roadmap to what the possibilities are for being a human being. But not only do we as humans get the benefit of knowing that God can relate to us, but he also sends a message, a modeling message, of how to treat and relate to other fellow human beings, breaking down those barriers as well. I mean, if a holy God who was so holy that to even look on him or to even touch his mountain or the ark carrying his presence would cause death to anyone, if that same God crossed and eradicated the barrier of time and space to become human, that communicates, wow, that every barrier that could exist or does exist, even barriers erected in the name of God, institutional barriers, cultural barriers, racial barriers, sexual barriers, socioeconomic barriers, it says to me that those barriers must be destroyed. Not because it's cool, but because God did it first. Now, we can debate that, by the way. And by the way, on your card, if you want, we can talk about it. I would love to talk about this more. Just email me, text me. We'll get coffee, we can talk about it. I want to grow too. I need to grow. Brother Miguel, right? I'm learning from you, right? Amen. But you know, we can have coffee, but not today because I got to go to the Apollo after this. But I do for this other town hall talk. But please do that because I want to engage and grow. This is how I get fed this way. The incarnation to me is extremely important. It says, you know, one thing it says to me as far as this ongoing incarnational presence of a church, it says that, you know, all that crazy Jesus stuff in Scripture, you know, Jesus loving enemies, blessing those who persecute you, defending the woman caught in adultery, you know, offering the hand of grace to her and those who were going to stone her, pleading with God to forgive those who were crucifying him as he was on the cross, empowering the woman at the well, forgiving her, loving her, releasing her to preach, to teach. You know, it says, he says that whoever serves him is serving, whoever serves the poor, the naked, the clothing, and you know, they serving him. You know, the same Jesus, you know, who was accused of breaking the Sabbath for allowing his disciples to pick grain and eat when they were hungry, right? You know, it's this. This Jesus, it says that all these things are kind of on the table, right? And, you know, they're stories and, they're wonderful, they're teaching elements, but they're also on the table for us to eat. And it's a trajectory for us to walk. And, of course, Lord's Spirit helps us do it. And I guess for me, as I get older, I mean, sometimes the tendency is to look at Jesus and say, wow. It was like you do Michael Jordan back in the day. You know Michael Jordan? Some of y'all, I'm 48, so like, you know, I used to like not like him a lot. But now, in retrospect, he's great. But back in those days, you know, he could go and do all these great things, and you would say, wow, that's my guy, right? I think sometimes with Jesus, the tendency is to like look at him and do all these great things and say, wow, that's my guy. For me, I can't do that. That's too hard. But man, you're my guy. I think the ongoing incarnational presence of the Lord says, come and be part of this with me. Right? I mean, you know, let's work this out. And I think that could be a challenge, but I think it's so true. You know, I think looking at the example and the reality of Jesus empowered by the Spirit, we are part of this ongoing incarnational presence of Jesus. It's ongoing, it's practical, it's fluid, and it's relevant. What are those implications for today? What are the, I hear River Joy talking. Are you guys okay? You can give me a sketch pad. You sketching? Okay. Sorry, it's family business. You good? All right. What are those implications for the day? I think, You know, when I look at things today, all the hot button issues, you know, the ongoing incarnational implications, you know, particularly in terms of, you know, gender inequality, historical, systemic, institutional racism, issues of just immigrant issues, privilege, you know, those things are informed by the incarnation, I think. Even when those things, those systems are becoming visible because of their systemic nature, they're still informed by them. What are the ongoing implications incarnationally in terms of homelessness, poverty, and addiction? What are the ongoing implications of the incarnation in terms of personal and collective and institutional repentance and transformation? Is it one or the other, or can it work hand in hand? One of these areas of the ongoing implication is, to me, is this idea of divine recognition. It's recognizing that this incarnational stuff, it's pretty darn messy, right? It can be confusing, and it's downright sometimes uncomfortable. I think when Jesus came and fleshed and, you know, living among people, it was a little uncomfortable at times. And I think incarnationally, that's okay. You know, when God is somewhere over there and I'm over here, it can be tidy, it can be neat. There are rules, we know the boundaries, there's tradition, and it works because I know what to do, what not to do, how far to go, what's the amount. And I want to make sure that everything is sort of in its place, not broken, not too sinful. You know, it's good to know that God is holding it down on lockdown over there. Now, that may not be the most intimate way of looking at a relationship with God, but sometimes it kind of works sometimes. It's familiar. But when God, who was over there, and I'm over here, and now all of a sudden God's over here with me, it's a little different. I mean, it feels a little funny. It muddies the waters a little bit. Because I'm a sinful brother. You know, and I want sometimes for the Lord to depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Just go over there. I want to close my eyes and just say, go up. When I open my eyes, he's right there again, saying, hey, here I am, right? And that, to me, sometimes is a little uncomfortable. The Lord is saying to me, I know you feel a little uncomfortable. It's okay. I know it's easy, you know, you may feel it easier to worship me from afar, but we can worship. We can worship. We can get dirty together. And just sort of this notion of how do you negotiate those things? It can be challenging. Incarnationally, sometimes being very uncomfortable is a sign of God's presence. You know, I think I need to say that again. I like that one. I think sometimes incarnationally, being uncomfortable is a sign of God's presence. It's not a sign sometimes of always of being of God abandoning you or his disapproval. Incarnationally, a holy God in Jesus, God opens the door, the lion's den, and says to humanity, come on in, I'll get you a chair. All right? Let's have a seat. And I think he's saying, hey, if y'all hungry, you want something to eat? You know, your feet dirty? Let me wash your feet. But we say, wait a minute, Lord, we're in a lion's den. And Jesus says, yes, we are. Together. Trust me, hold on to me, I got you. He said, I didn't cross space and time to become enfleshed, breaking every barrier to leave you hanging, not empowered by my spirit, to do great things, to be light to the world, to be my witnesses, to be the flavor of the world. So when we talk about these kind of like hot button issues, like institutional racism, disparities, racial injustice, you know, these dominant cultural normative realities that are the kind of default positions because they're so systemic. When you talk about those things, it's good to recognize that those realities are there because they have been so embedded in our culture. But Jesus, I think, speaks to them today. You know, when we talk about things like, you know, Tamir Rice being shot, Sandra Bland dying in police custody, Eric Garner dying from a chokehold, Muslim kids being beaten up, people being laid with fear because of Islamophobia, homophobia, or the verbal, physical abuse and sexual violence for women, when you talk about those things, you say, well, you know, those are issues that I think incarnationally Jesus is empowered by the Spirit speaks to through his church. I really believe that. I've come to believe that. And again, we can, you know, we can text me, email me, we can debate that a little bit. Lovingly, of course, over coffee. Yeah. And I think those things can become relevant. I think they are relevant. You know, as a follower of Jesus, as a husband and a father, a man of color, not only does, you know, I feel uncomfortable a lot of times as well, but sort of not engaging those issues makes me really uncomfortable. You know, when I don't talk about, express how I feel about certain things that are relevant to me, I get really uncomfortable. So it can be a kind of a mutual feeling of being uncomfortable. But I think Jesus is saying, we can walk through this together. And he's not saying, go do. He's saying, look. See? Look at me. That to me is extremely, extremely important. Particularly when the Lord sort of crossing this gulf, this modeling of Jesus, this modeling, you know, and knowing full well that there are certain vulnerabilities that are embedded with incarnational living. It makes you vulnerable. You know, and I totally get it. I understand this. You know, the ongoing incarnational presence of the Lord sometimes for me, as I just look at it, ministry and other things, it affects sometimes how I interact with the text. It does. Because of the incarnation, I'll be honest, I always have to have a text to tell me what to do is right. Sorry, everybody okay with that? I mean, I can't be so concerned about getting something wrong that I fail to do what is right. I mean, there's time. There's, you know, the time is of the essence here. And I just can't be blind to the possibilities of doing what is holy while I go check my, you know, reference to see if I have a scripture to back me up. Love the text. Praise God for our text. Couldn't live without it. But incarnationally, I have to sort of negotiate that. Amen? Okay? I know it sounds a little odd. Bear with me. I'm almost done. Some of you are like this. And the goal here is not to be provocative, not to be kind of, you know, whatever. Not to do any of that. Just to understand that I think, you know, Jesus has a message for me as a minister in this place, working with the community, hoping other things. And I just wanted to share that. You know, God breaking down all the barriers, becoming like his creation in the most eager of circumstances, being born in the feed trough, becoming a refugee, being homeless, not having a place to lay his head, living and loving and keeping company with social outcasts, people, by the way, who I wouldn't be caught dead talking to, right? I mean, people, you know, the prostitutes, tax collectors, Gentiles, Samaritans who were considered dogs, lepers, right? Touching a leper who were considered ceremonially unclean. He touched him, and you know why he touched him? Because he was willing to touch him. Willing. Incarnational living, Jesus willing to cross that barrier to do that, which made him ceremonially unclean. If Jesus is ceremonially unclean, I'm filthy. So are you. And I guess Jesus, you know, being beaten to a pulp, being falsely incarcerated, executed like a criminal on the cross, saying, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, allowing another criminal on the cross to say, hey, you know, today you'll be with me in paradise. I didn't baptize you. I didn't know if you would come to the synagogue every single day, but because you acknowledge me and because you come to me, you're with me in paradise today. That's a gulf crossing there. I mean, that's sort of, sometimes I will say that Jesus doesn't kind of meet my expectations sometimes, because I got to have rules, man. Got to pay the bills, baby. You know what I'm saying? I do. You know, and if it gets too murky there, you know. But Jesus is saying, I'm here. Cross that gulf, you can do this, empowered by my Spirit. When I see all that stuff, what I call that crazy Jesus stuff, that wild out, like, wow. I see all those barriers being crossed. I would always study the text to show myself approved. Praise God. I love it. But I just don't have to find a text to tell me, you know, that women can't use their gifts in church. I see the incarnation. That's enough for me. Amen? Are you okay? Some of y'all look, y'all sweating out there. You all right? I'm sorry. I don't have to find something at approval to say, hey, you know, this, you know, you need to go out here and publicly proclaim that this action was wrong civically. And the reason why I say that, because I've done that. I've said, hey, let me find it, you know, I want to, you know, before I go out and do a march, or before I go out and make a statement, let me just see what I feel. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, did Jesus come to earth, crossing a gulf and a barrier? And it's interpretive, of course, but that's how I look at text. That's how I look at the text affirms what Jesus already did. Some of y'all are like, okay, I'm going to bait you on that one. Write it down. And I think that's very, very important to me. For people, you know, who don't share your sexual orientation, you know, again, I mean, we can find text to deal with that specifically, I guess, but look at the life of Jesus. And you're going to tell me that people can be excluded from the house of the Lord? I mean, with a straight face? Tom, am I fired, by the way? No. Kidding. I'm kidding. Kidding. I'm both of them kidding. In the ongoing incarnation of Jesus, he sets a path, a trajectory, a way to live. You know, when I look at the Lord, the ongoing incarnation, I just don't have to find a reason to sort of, you know, to keep helping people, to keep going back, even though they've asked a million zillion times. I've been helped. Amen? If I've been helped, sorry. Is this the Apollo episode? What are you doing? If I've been helped by y'all, how in the heck can I not do that? My brother and sister, regardless of how they appear to me and what they do, God enables me all the time. I don't need to find a way to make sure I'm not enabling anybody. Because God has been enabling me for 48 years. While I was a sinner, God died for me in Christ. Amen? Sorry about the shade, y'all. Just so that it helps. We are so blessed here at the Manhattan Church for having a place to serve, to listen, to grow, to affirm. And this modeling, this path of Jesus, this life that we see in Scripture, it's combined to inform what we've seen in Scripture. And when we've seen God becoming enfleshed and dwelling among us, what can we say but, wow, this is tough. This is messy. It's uncomfortable, probably a little less joyful than I would be otherwise, but oh my God, it's the will of the Lord. Oh my goodness, it's the way God wants me to live. The clothing donations, having food, volunteering people, writing checks to the Community of Hope, people say, hey, Brother Carl, can I have some, you know, can I, this is what y'all have done, right? The Community of Hope is just a ministry given to God, and it's really, it's a modeling from his own incarnational life. And I think it's sort of, you know, this incarnation, let me take these silly glasses off here, to recognize what's happening in the flesh in real time by the Spirit of God from your hands. From your hands. I mean, sometimes, you know, I know with I know this is about Community Hope, you know, and I dig that. But you can be in a place of ministry sometimes and not really step back to see what's happening, right? I mean, I look at, you know, all the ministries, the small groups, the worship, the teaching right here, the Thea ministry, the Precious Kids ministry, the ministry to Honduras, all these other things. You know what? That's the ongoing incarnational life of the Lord being lived out in a church of ordinary people, sinful people. Amen? And it can be challenging, but it's sweet. It's sweet. And I guess, you know, I often wish I had one of these. I grew up in New York. I grew up in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky. I grew up in the traditional Black Church of Christ church in Newburgh, in Louisville, and it was a neighborhood. And I, you know, Brother Baker was a minister. He's passed away. God bless him. And Brother Jack Evans from Southwestern used to come twice a year to preach. And I used to wish that I had that Black minister power of speaking. Jack Evans would be up there and go, bah, 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 bah. He can make the phone book sound holy. And right now, I don't have that gift because I'm not doing that right now. But I wish I did. That's not part of the text, not part of my lesson. I just wanted to acknowledge that. I'm envious of my people I grew up with, like Brother Evans. Because I'd be like, I would say, incarnation. Y'all would be like, yeah, you know. And they would be like, you know, we didn't have music at all. And we could, you know, we did, you know, a cappella. But you had people, I would say, yeah, and they would, and Brother Evans, and people would clap with every accent. That's the way you did it if you didn't have music. If you had music, you would be organ, go dun-dun, dun-dun. But anyway, see, you learned something, right? I wish today, this week, that you, tomorrow, you know, acknowledge MLK, you know, and you know, as you know, and I think we're really again, I mean, we're really blessed here in this congregation. I mean, we're acknowledging a person for service at a church. Now he's like, oh, that's a big deal. I mean, that doesn't happen a lot, and it's just part of the grace given to us by God in this congregation. I think, you know, I think God has given us some blessings, and we kind of get some stuff here. And that's really crucial. And again, you know, I've often struggled with MLK Day. I love MLK. I would struggle with the day because I think if he knew that he would be a postage stamp, be turning over in his grave or a holiday. But I recognize, again, the idea, the goal. I thank you all, Brother Kevin, Sister Helen, Brother Andrew, who was going to do a poem for you all. He's a poet. He couldn't make it today. But the guest, you know, they're our friends. Brother Kevin, over 20 years. I'm here, you here. Thank you all. Can we stand as we say a closing benediction, which I didn't prepare and because I forgot to do, but I'll say this. God is good. All the time. God is good. God is great. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. We are located at 48 East 80th Street in New York City. Adults and children's Bible classes are held every Sunday beginning at 9:30 a.m., followed by worship services at 11 a.m. To hear previous podcasts, visit our website at www.manhattanchurch.org.